The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Well, Brian Burke is sitting over there, which means that it is time for this.
Ask the Expert on The Anton Savage Show.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Brian, of course, being our expert gardener. And if you want to get any questions into him, 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp. You can even email if it's a long one, anton@newstalk.com, or you can text 53106. I have to say, Brian, it is always a joy to be able to discuss the metric system with somebody.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's just not enough discussion of it out there, is there?
There's not, no.
No.
And I'm still slightly baffled by why the bits of the imperial system that we still cling on to. There's certain measurements where, like, we still use half-inch pipe. Why? We all know it's 13 mil.
Yeah. But, like, the spoken word is still imperial. So people talk in miles. People talk in inches and feet, you know.
Do they, or is that generation, are we just old? Do the young people describe themselves as 1.43 metres tall?
Well, if I'm describing something as 15 centimetres to somebody, I'll say 6 inches in all money. Do you know what I mean?
That's a fine point.
People get their heads around, you know, even on the motorway, when you look at a sign in kilometres, you instantly convert it into miles.
How do you do it?
5/8. So divide by 8, multiply by 5.
I just take each total 10 and turn it into a 6.
Okay, very good.
So if you have 40, you just 4 sixes. It's not accurate, but it's close.
I bet mine's quicker and more accurate.
Yeah, but yours requires decent maths. I was never good at maths. Garden question, which is what he's actually here for. I have a Japanese maple growing in pot for years. By the way, this question came in during the break, which is what led to the discussion on the imperial versus the metric system. Yep. I have a Japanese maple growing in a pot for years. I garden in a patio space. The tree is now 6 feet tall in a pot 14 inches in diameter. What's that? 2 meters by about 40 centimeters?
14 inches is 350 millimetres, 35 centimetres.
No, we didn't say 14, 17 inches.
Oh, 17
oh,
inches,
17
sorry.
Inches.
So seven, that's 425 millimetres, 42.5
centimetres. Did you do the maths
on that? Yeah.
You're very impressive. I think it might like a bigger pot. Any advice on moving it in the best growing mix?
Okay, well, the rule of thumb when moving anything in a pot is to move it up a minimum of a third the capacity of the pot that it's already in. So figure out what the capacity of that pot is, and you want to be moving it up by a minimum. Now, that's a minimum of a third the capacity. So, for example, if you had a 15-litre pot, you'd move it up to a minimum of a 20-litre pot. So a third of 15 would be 5, 15 plus 5 is 20. You know what I mean?
I'm doing the maths here as you talk.
Yeah.
So, and then the 53 centimetre pot is what they need. Is that right?
You see, the diameter might not, because the depth might differ.
Oh.
The depth might, you know, that might be quite a shallow pot. You could get a deeper pot. You want to work out volume, the cubic capacity. And that's not indicated exclusively by the diameter of the pot, because some pots are deeper than others. So you want to try and figure out the volume. You know, your length.
What's that? What's a pi r squared h? Is that what it is? What's, how do you do volume of a cylinder? Probably not cylindrical either. It might be tapered.
Well, it's, yeah, if you do length by breadth by height, roughly
could
speaking.
Could you just fill it with water and count the
square
pints?
The circle. You get those 5 liter, you know, water bottles that you get in the supermarket. Fill a heap of them. Fill it up.
I like.
But the problem is with that system is there's probably perforations in the bottom of the pot. So you'd have to line the pot with a bin liner in order to put the water in.
We're deep into our tangent. I've lost sight of what's happening to this Japanese maple. What's your advice in respect to that?
Okay, well, move it up by a minimum of a third in capacity, right? Now, the nutrients in the compost that are in it will be depleted at this stage. So this is a perfect opportunity to get new growing medium in there, right? So get a multi-purpose compost, peat-free, a bit of garden soil if you can, a bit of native soil in a mix is no harm. A bit of grit, horticultural grit or horticultural sand.
Why do you need local soil?
Look, it provides a nice bit of ballast in a pot, particularly if it, did that person say it's on a balcony or where is it?
Yeah, a patio, garden in a patio space.
A patio, okay. So a bit of garden soil provides a bit of ballast in a pot because compost tends to be quite light, you know. So it's no harm, when that tree sounds fairly big, you want a bit of heft, you want a bit of presence, you want a bit of mass in the pot. So a bit of garden soil will provide that. A bit of multi-purpose compost. A bit of growing horticultural grit or horticultural sand just to provide drainage and just prop, make sure that the pot is perforated. And if you want, if it's a nice pot like a terracotta pot or something, just prop it up in something on the bottom so it doesn't waterlog at the bottom, you know.
Text.
And feed it straight away. That's another important thing. When you move pot, a large plant into a new pot, new growing medium, feed it straight away. So liquid feed works better for pots and containers. So about 10 mil of feed, seaweed feed or general purpose feed, to a litre of water, about 50 mil for a 5 litre bottle.
There's a question about evergreen shrubs. Before that, kilometres to miles, half and a bit. super quick, and there or thereabouts.
Again.
What did you went 5/8?
5/8. Yeah.
Can I still plant new evergreen shrubs in my garden in September and October?
New evergreen shrubs, absolutely. Yeah, this is if they're potted or containerized, they have growing medium attached. You can pot them pretty much any time as long as you're prepared to look after them. This is planting season.
I'm always surprised when you say this, because I would have thought that once you get into the sort of autumn winter months, it's a very stressful time to be a tree, and the last thing you want is getting moved.
No, this is planting season. This is prime time for planting. Yeah, I mean, it's only mid September. We're not really we haven't really hit kind of late autumn, early winter yet. You know, so those plants will get bedded in beautifully and then emerge, you know, prolifically next spring if you get them in now.
I have 2 20-year-old hydrangea plants, never pruned before. I really want to cut them back. Any advice? They're massive.
They were never pruned before. Okay, it depends on the species. So if they're hydrangea macrophylla, right, that's a particular type of hydrangea that you would normally cut.
What's that mean? Big leaf?
Yeah, big leaf, macrophylla, big leaf, yeah. You would normally prune them after they flower, right? And then there's another type called hydrangea paniculata that you would prune in spring because they flower in the current season's growth, right? So these sound, if they're big, they sound like macrophylla, right? So the regime you want to get into henceforth is to prune them after they flower. So when the flowers go over, get straight in there, prune them after the flower because they flower on the previous season's growth, and you want to maximise the time for the plant to put on growth before it flowers next year, and therefore you'll maximise the blooms, right? But if you're rejuvenating it, you just want to, if you want to get in there, you'll have to do a fairly rootless job now if that hasn't been pruned in 20 years, right? So cut them back, cut back all the old, you know, anything that's more than 2 years old, juvenile or current year's wood, cut it back to a bud, an outward facing bud, and try and be fairly rootless. Don't kind of, you know, gingerly dance around the edges of it. Get into it because it needs a bit of rejuvenation.
Well, you made a pained expression when I read out that they hadn't been pruned in 20 years. What's wrong with not pruning a hydrangea?
Well, it just affects the performance and the overall health and vitality and vigour of the plant. You know, pruning is renewal, right? It's renewal. It's giving the plant a chance to kind of invigorate itself and emerge stronger the following year. The more you prune, the more vigour you keep within the plant, the better for its overall health, you know?
Can I ask you an odd one?
Yeah.
I have a tree. I don't know what it is. I never know what anything is. But many years ago, like a long time ago, I put a ratchet strap on it for some reason. I can't remember why. Over the years, the hook of the ratchet strap has gone inside the tree. So now only the bottom of it is emerging. But does that do trees any harm if they grow and absorb a thing?
Well, not really, because, I mean, there's enough bark, there's enough cambium, there's enough xylem, there's enough phloem, there's enough of the transportation, that the vascular network of the plant to survive and overcome that. That's just a minor obstruction, you know. You can wound the tree. That has calloused around. That has calloused
over.
But
it's fully absorbed. Like the branch has grown so wide now that the metal of it is now entirely within the tree. Bark has covered everything. There's just the bottom of the hook poking out.
Yeah, the tree's figured out a way to grow around that. It's a bit like a root system. When you put a big stake, if you plant something bare root and you put a big stake in amongst the root system when you're planting it and you tie it off to a stake, the root system will figure out a way to grow around that stake. You know what I mean? It's not going to jeopardize it long term. Probably used that to straighten it, did you? You were probably,
I think
the tree
I might
was
have.
Probably
I think I might
off
have, yeah.
Home, I can imagine.
And then yeah, I got yeah, distracted.
You tied it to the back of a tow bar on a car.
You know me too well, Brian. Is there anything to do with a half a lawn full of POA grass? Is POA an acronym for something rude?
No, POA. It's a type of grass.
Oh, it's pronounced POA.
POA annua is the full name of it, yeah. What's the question? Is there anything
to do with half a lawn full of POA grass? I assume that means, can you get rid of the POA grass?
Yeah, so they don't like the POA. So the POA is kind of a tough, hard-wearing grass, and it's probably compromising the overall look of the lawn if this person is pretty fussy about the way their lawn looks, you know? Again, not that I'm aware of, unless you just go in there and dig it out. I mean, overseeding with a good quality grade, leisure lawn, number one, the species or the variety that you want, something like a fescue or a perennial rye or something like that. If you continually overseed, it might eventually overpower the POA. But apart from getting in there, getting a sod cutter, digging it up, slicing it off and rotivating and reseeding the whole thing, which I don't think you want to do. Just keep overseeding every autumn. This is prime time for overseeding now.
Is it?
Add a bit of compost, bit of horticultural sand, rake it in and overseed.
The floodgates have opened now. We've started on lawns and all the lawn questions are coming in. I have a small lawn that I would like to turn into clover, not grass. What should I do? It's about 10 foot by 12 foot.
about 10 foot by 12 foot. Okay, well, what I would recommend there, because it's such a manageable size, right, 10 foot by 12 foot is nothing, just remove the sod that's there. Remove it entirely, right? Now, you can do that. You can get a sod cutter. You can, there's settings on it. You can run it across and then it'll slice off. It has this vibratory kind of blade just underneath the surface and you can roll up the grass and get rid of it. What that will do is leave a kind of a lovely smooth substrate. Then get your clover seed, you know, agitate that a small bit with a rake or a fork or even a light rotavator just to receive the new seed and then plant the clover straight into it. 10 by 12, you probably don't need the sod cutter. You could lift that sod easily. Cut it into a grid, right? So about 30 centimetres, that's 12 inches. grid. So do a grid 30 centimetres apart, one direction, then come across and do a grid the other lines the other way. So you end up with little 30 centimetre squares of sod.
Like a checkerboard.
Exactly. And then you can lift it out with a fork, easy peasy, rather than trying to tear big lumps.
How deep do you make each? Because I never know when you're taking out sod. Is it, do you take out 6-inch clumps?
No,
or is
no,
it
you want to leave that soil. You don't want to take out, particularly this time of the year, it's going to be moist. So if you go too deep, a lot of the soil is going to come with the sod. And that's valuable stuff. You just want to remove just down beyond the root zone of the grass that's already in there. So the minimum, you know, a couple of inches.
100 mil.
About, no, 5 centimetres, 50
what,
mil.
What are good evergreen shrubs to plant in clay soil in a sunny location?
Clay soil in a sunny location, evergreen shrubs. I mean, if it's overly clay, you don't want to, nothing's going to be happy in a really, really heavy clay soil where it's going to get waterlogged and not drain. Evergreen shrubs that I like, tough old evergreens, Eleagnus, Sabingii, Viburnum tinus, beautiful shrub that flowers over the winter months, kind of dusty pinkish white flower from November through to February. Mahonia winter sun, it's a great winter shrub. Spiky evergreen foliage, produces a yellow flower then in the new year. Portuguese laurel, interesting bark on it, kind of reddish bark and a really nice deep green leaf. Akuba, spotted laurel, nice interesting evergreen plant. Viburnum Davidii, big evergreen with big striking leaves on it. Again, interesting coloured bark. All of these things are good options. You know?
Do you remember the shipping forecast?
The Annie Prue book?
Novel. No, the actual shipping forecast where they used to say North at Cira, South at Cira, Fisher, Cromarty.
Yeah.
You had to read out the shipping forecast at a particularly slow speed so that the boats at sea could write down all of the stuff.
Okay.
I feel that I should get you the same with you when you're doing horticultural advice because it comes awful quick. This means, by the way, if you've missed anything that Brian just said, don't worry. We will podcast this afterwards. So if you were trying to furiously write down the list of Latin names that he had there and you didn't get all of them, we'll put the podcast up. People can listen. You can even listen at half speed if you want to get you.
Okay, super.
Tech saying, I have a laurel hedge and some of it bent over with the wind. I have it propped up with timber. Will it regrow or do I cut it down? The root is still in the ground. Will I always have to have the timber holding it? Ratchet strap,
prune it back to an outward facing bud and it'll regenerate. Laurel is so tough, it'll just bounce back.
Will it?
Oh, absolutely.
And the timber will be removable eventually.
Timber will be removable, I assure you.
Brian Burke, thank you so much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.